Welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. Thanks very much to all of our supporters and those who donated and are still donating to CIUT. Go to CIUT.fm and donate. I'm sure we've done very well. You can still continue to donate to this great station and, of course, mention the Taylor Report or any of the other great shows. Knock yourself out, as the man said. Well, we have a lot of news. We want to make sure we report on it. Well, I should say, first of all, that there's going to be a special event on the Meng Wanzhou matter where some distinguished lawyers will be speaking. Well, I will mention the name of Chris Black, International Criminal Lawyers. He's been a guest on the Taylor Report. He distinguished himself in work at the Tribunal for the former war crimes in the former Yugoslavia and, of course, in Rwanda. The speakers are Saris Jansen, who is a host and moderator of a popular program, Sheila Hsiao, Pivot to Peace co-founder, and Mei Chu, Progress Chinese of Quebec. Sponsors include the Canadian Peace Congress and the Hamilton Coalition to Stop the War. It's going to be Thursday, May 20 at 7 p.m. And you go to tinyurl.com/Meng panel. So that's Thursday, May 20, 7 p.m. The panel on the case of Meng Wanzhou. They're going to be summarizing what has been learned so far and to update viewers as to what the issues are and what, I hope, things that people can do. And to access it, you can go to tinyurl.com/Meng panel. And again, it's the Taylor Report. It is CIUT 89.5 FM. I think it's great that there have been a number of demonstrations in Canada. Canada has not been in the forefront of demonstrations in solidarity with Palestine over the years. The big ones tend to be in Europe and, of course, around the world. There were large demonstrations, but there were big demonstrations, and we are still in COVID time. And it's very impressive. Montreal had several thousand people. It was a very large demonstration in Toronto. From the photos I saw, 1,000 or more. And I know there was a demonstration in Hamilton, and I'm sure other places. It's very significant. There was a large demonstration in New York City, and I really congratulate the organizers there. There is an organization that has stood up for Palestinians in solidarity with Palestine, particularly in this new period of aggressiveness under Netanyahu, who was given a great boost by Donald Trump. And the policy has not been reversed by Joe Biden, so we can call it the Trump-Biden policy. You will remember that the United States very provocatively moved its embassy to Jerusalem, which it was international agreement not to do this, because Jerusalem is, according to all the UN agreements and all the international treaties and understandings, Jerusalem is to be the capital of a Palestinian state and of the Israeli state. That's the agreed policy, and one ought not to be there without the other. But of course, Trump knew better, and he also knew that the Democrats would go along with him. I was very impressed that the organization in New York, and particularly that is a Beth, I think her name is Beth Miller, has done a really outstanding job. This is with the organization, Jewish Voices for Peace. And that's it. Their Twitter is at JVPLive. And they were opposed to this grabbing of homes in Jerusalem, the area called Sheikh Jarrah. That was, of course, a provocation. And again, American politicians, who are the main politicians involved, sat back on their heels and smiled and did nothing. But the Jewish Voices for Peace went to the home of Chuck Schumer, an American congressman, allegedly a very liberal man. But Chuck Schumer, when Trump moved the embassy to Jerusalem, Chuck Schumer put the word around that it was his idea. So the demonstrators went to, I understand, went to his home. They had a rally at his home. So the climate, the political climate is changing. It's very noteworthy. And in Chicago, there were 20,000 demonstrations. And in France, think of this, Macron prohibited demonstrations. He's now quibbling. He said, well, not everywhere, but he said there were certain places he decided people couldn't demonstrate. So, well, they demonstrated anyway by the thousands. The same is true in the UK. Again, it's very, very significant because they, with the, what they call the Kushner plan, the Trump plan, and particularly the driving out into the open of the reactionary monarchies who said, oh, they wanted to normalize relations with Israel. This became the quiet policy to put over a betrayal of the rights of the Palestinian people. They were only able to get a handful of monarchs. But of course, immediately, people like Schumer, well, and the Democrats, joined in with Trump and saying, well, you see, this is a trend. No, it's not a trend at all. It's not even a trend in the United States. We see OAC, I believe she goes by OAC, one of the squad. We've been critical of OAC on the Taylor Report, and we ain't ashamed of it. But she did speak up very strongly and said that and used the term apartheid state. And she tweeted that an apartheid state is not, cannot be democratic. And then she said, if you cannot condemn this aggressive policy of Israel, if you can't do that, stand against that, how are we going to believe you could stand up to anybody else? She says, if this is your ally and you can't tell them not to do these things, you aren't very much of a state. It's a curious idea, but it's very striking. Bernie Sanders has also made a strong statement contradicting the policy of Biden. So we'll see. I think everybody's in for a tough ride on this. Going back to France, I like the fact that it's been pointed out, and you can go to the Twitter of Angry Arab, called the Angry Arab, that's at University of California, at Stockton, I think. No, I'll get it. But anyway, not far from Stockton. Anyhow, Professor, and Professor Khalil, he said, France, that's where we had the Charlie Hebdo demonstrations. He said the King of Jordan came and the leader of the Palestinian Authority came and they all marched together saying, we're with Charlie Hebdo. We are all one. We are all for freedom. You see, we have values and we don't surrender. We don't give them up because, you know, we hold high the banner of all of blah, blah. And so, of course, now it's an issue of Arabs and Muslims who are under attack by a powerful state. I mean, really powerful. And one with powerful friends, obviously. And all of a sudden, Macron says, oh, you can't demonstrate. We think that would be a bad idea. And nobody says, well, what, can we go back to the part about Charlie Hebdo and how we all, I mean, we were showing that, you know, in our part of the world, civil liberties, civil rights, human rights, these are basically sacred, holy, and, you know, these are things that matter. This defines us. So they went through that exercise. And, of course, the first time you have a big demonstration protesting the use, excessive use of force by the Israeli state, and it's, of course, it's extreme political position in regard to the rights of the Palestinians. And you want to protest that. French people of Paris, nope, says Macron, can't do that. But anyway, they are what they get the Nobel Prize for hypocrisy, the Pulitzer Prize for bunk. It's pathetic, there's no other name for it than hypocrisy. And of course, Macron is a hypocrite. Meanwhile, this struggle goes on, and it's going to be back on the agenda, as they say. The United States has made this so much worse by holding up international efforts to bring the fighting to an end and also to deal with the issues, the direct specific issues, and the saying that this is not going to be done in a back room. This is not going to be done in the dark. If there's any principles involved, then it has to be debated in an appropriate forum. And that appropriate forum was the Security Council of the United Nations, and the United States was not in favor of that. So for almost 10 days, they held up discussion. And every time the Security Council wanted to issue a statement, the United States said no. They prevented it. Now, they finally got a statement on Sunday, late in the afternoon Sunday. It is basically, with how you call it, ballpark. But the U.S. has been knocking itself out. And when I say they said no to the Security Council, think about it. Security Council, I think, I forget how many members, but somewhere around 15, rotating membership. There's the big five, and then there's everybody else. And they all voted, yes, let's make a statement. Yes, let's have a discussion at the Security Council. Where else are you going to go? A state has taken territory that belongs to the Palestinian people. It's already been agreed, so that the Israelis have overstepped themselves, and that has to be debated. Then there's the question of repression of the population. That ought to be debated. So the United States blocked it. So it underlines a crisis that the Taylor Report, and we hope everybody else, pays more attention to. And that is that we have the major power, superpower, United States, that is a wayward state, a rogue. And, of course, because they're powerful, they drag little friends like Canada along through the dust and dirt. Canada has to eat dirt all the time, following along, never contradicting. But the U.S. says, oh, we're going to do this. They say, here's the question, why would anybody be enthusiastic about this fighting breaks out? And it's quite striking. I mean, really bloody and ugly incidents. And within that state, Israel proper, they're fighting, which hasn't been seen and was never going to happen. Well, it is happening. So why is it that the United States said, everybody says, well, you have to talk to them. The U.S. says it's going to send envoys. Why does it fall to the United States? You know, there's the UN helped choose an entity. They created it called the Quad, and not the Squad, the Quad. And Russia, you see, was a member. Well, so now we know that's we can't obviously can't let the Russians have anything to say about this. And then there's the European Union, there's the UN itself, and there's the US. That's the Quad. Well, they're not involved. They should be right in the thick of it. That this is, if the message is going to be sent out, that this is what we want done, and this is the spirit of the international community, then you can accomplish something. But no, the United States wants to own this. And we hear them say, the United States and Egypt will go. Well, the United States, they provide $3 billion a year military aid to Egypt. Egypt is going to do what the United States wants. So that's like myself and my sock puppet. I got to go have a meeting. Maybe I'll leave the sock at home. It may as well. But it's farcical that this kind of activity goes on. And it ought to really be condemned. The General Assembly, Security Council, they're going to have to say, you can't have this thing that Canada and the other members of the Five Eyes call our values. We know about your values. France just showed off your values when they said that people couldn't demonstrate in support of the Palestinians. So those are your values, but you're a bunch of hypocrites. But you've got a group. The U.S. is leading a group which spends 24/7 seeing if they can get around the common goals and interest of the world's people as expressed by their states and nations, of whom there I think there are 194. They're not allowed to conduct business as it ought to be conducted. And this is where the outrage should be, is that Five Eyes is continually getting in the way and destroying the chances for peaceful resolution of these kind of problems, such as that one which now exists in Palestine. Is it, the U.S. takes it upon itself to ignore, walk over, mock other countries, and the institutions, the most important one, United Nations, which was established in a victory over Nazism, kind of a wonderful departure point for creating a better world. But now we have a power that thinks it doesn't have to do that, it go alone. And it calls its values superior to other people's values. And their values this time included blocking Security Council from talking about this matter of what happened, what is going on between Israel and the Palestinians. The discussion of this has not been very enlightening. Canada joins in, the media here. They continually talk about Hamas, a Gaza-based political organization. Yeah, also military has it, and that leads us to a point. The first thing that Biden says, and it's become a mantra amongst the Five Eyes, is they when this hap these incidents break out and violence spread, they say Israel has the right to defend itself. And then they look around and think they've settled matters. Well, that's you can say that. But then it also follows, and I notice now media people picking it up. It even got raised at the State Department the other day. The reporter said, "How about the Palestinians? Do they have the right to self-defense?" The answer is yes. Of course. Palestinians are like all humanity, who in any identifiable group that finds itself under duress and finds its rights trampled upon, they have a right to resist. That's very simple. And they also have a right to defend themselves if they're attacked. And that isn't said. Our media just completely jumps over it. Everybody's satisfied with Biden saying that. Actually, again, Bernie Sanders, to his credit, took that up, and I believe it's done in a new, what they call an opinion piece. They no longer have op-eds now at the New York Times. They don't like the term. So he wrote an opinion piece. But he said Palestinians have rights, and including the right of self-defense. It is said, and I just read a Reuters item, that U.S. Regards Hamas as a terrorist organization. Well, that's the U.S. point of view. They're one state. But it is a complicated matter, isn't it? Because Hamas participated in elections, which everybody said was what they wanted. They wanted to have the Palestinian people express their view. In the old days, they wanted that to happen so that they could get rid of Yasser Arafat and the PLO. Just, you look it up, it's a history book, long ago. But the idea was, we'll get some political opposition. Well, they got some. And Hamas won the elections. Now, the leader of the Palestinian Authority, not highly admired, apparently, in the West Bank and Gaza, have postponed once again elections. But let's just put it simply. Hamas is a political organization which wins elections. I don't know whether they would win in the West Bank, but I don't doubt that they're very popular. Calling them terrorists might satisfy your U.S.'s political needs, but it isn't going to solve this problem because there has to be, it's already, the world has recognized, Palestinians have right to self-determination. There's already a roadmap, they like to use those terms. It's all there. And it is, of course, as old as history that people weren't called terrorists, like Nelson Mandela, often end up president of countries. So it's not terribly, all that's happening here is just manipulation of language, but it ought to be emphasized that Hamas has enjoyed political support, definitely in both in West Bank and Gaza, but in Gaza particularly, it has support. And it's a democratic issue. It is not for the United States to make any determination. And incidentally, when the United States calls a country somebody terrorist, as we all know, they're fickle. Under Obama, they decided to take Cuba. Get a load of this. Cuba was supposed to be terrorist. So big gesture, they took them off the list. Well, Trump came in and he put them back on. So it's a meaningless, it's just a political exercise. Again, cynical, hypocritical, all designed to put spokes in the wheels of human progress. That's their fate, is to make trouble, fail until they go away. This is a Taylor Report. It is CIUT. I want to thank everybody again for the support to the station. You can still do it, CIUT.FM, and donate, and you can donate throughout the month. Actually, you can do it year-round if you feel like it. When the mood strikes you, just go to CIUT.FM and donate. There's some other matters on this news and ongoing struggle to emphasize. It seems to have entered a new phase. It looks as though the monarchies are a little more shaky. Some of them who had said, we want to normalize, are now quibbling and moving to try to get out of the problem they've made for themselves. And also the people of their countries are very, very unhappy with them. And I just want to underline that.